So today we're going to talk about interchange. Can you believe in it? Is that possible? Can people really change?
Sure.
If I'm a this class.
If you're this class, people could change.
That's proof.
Can people change their likes and dislikes? Can people change their intuitive response to things? Not can people change their behavior. That's not the question. I know people could change their behavior. I know people could change their attitudes. Can people change them? Can a person
behavior and attitude
who likes...
It's not who you are.
Behavior and attitude is behavior you engage in. It's not who you are.
Based on your attitudes, that's your...
If a person is an optimist, can they become a pessimist? Can a pessimist become an optimist?
Sure. Holocaust will do that. It did to a lot of Jews.
Let me reframe the question, and you have a good point. The Holocaust could make any optimist into a pessimist. Can a person change on his own without external stimuli? I'm not talking about tragic events that destroy a person. I'm not talking about atmospheric things. I'm talking about, can a person on his own decide, okay, I'm going to become a changed person. I'm going to affect some kind of inner transformation. Now, here's the problem, or the challenge. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Ki karev elecha adavar mayit, that this Torah and mitzvah thing, this Judaism thing, it's exceedingly close to you. It's beficha, it's in your mouth, which is a realm or ability to articulate, to speak, and it's bilvavcha, it's in your heart. So it's in your mouth, it's in your heart, and it's las soysoy, it's to do. So the problem is, to do is understandable. A person can change his or her behavior. You can decide, I'm not going to do this anymore. Or I am going to start doing this. You could do that. A person could change the way they speak. People really can. But can people change? Can people change? And here it says bilvavcha. Bilvavcha means in your heart. Your heart reflects the inner rhythm, inner reality. Okay, so it's just one pasuk in the Torah. That's not. No such thing, one pasuk in the Torah. But still, one pasuk in the Torah. The Torah has hundreds of thousands of psukim. But how about the fact that the Alter Rebbe enshrined this pasuk, this verse, as the foundation of the entire book of Tanya? That's how he introduced Tanya. He says, Levayer, I wrote this book to explain this pasuk, Ki karev elecha adavar mayit. And the Alter Rebbe really never explained it till now. We're only in chapter 17. So we have to then understand, how is it possible for a person to change bilvavcha? Is that possible? Does Judaism believe that actually? This is the question that we're asking today. The question we'll address. Now, the Alter Rebbe couldn't answer this question previously because the nature of the Chabad method of study is not quick little answers, you know, quick little kind of jingles, little questions, little answers, but rather a profound overhaul of our understanding of spirituality. That's the nature of Chabad. Every mimer starts with a question. Says, oh, you want to understand this? Well, first we have to understand a whole bunch of other things. Understand everything else. Once your perspective is elevated and rarefied and redirected, then you'll go back to your question. You'll see the question wasn't a question to begin with. But the question becomes a stimuli for a whole new approach to our understanding of Yiddishkeit. So the Alter Rebbe had to first introduce his whole approach. First he introduced the idea that each and every one of us has a nefesh. Who are we? Talked about the nefesh, talked about the soul, talked about the neshama. It's a chelik elika, it's a piece of God. So the first chapter he set up his questions, and then he went to talk about the neshama. And then after he talked about the neshama, so he talked about the faculties of the neshama, the abilities, that everybody has 10 abilities, that their operating system is comprised of 10, 3 intellectual and 7 emotional. And then we talked about the fact that there's this notion of garments, thought, speech, and deed. And then we had to talk about the idea that everybody is capable of not doing the wrong thing. We don't have to do what the Torah says we shouldn't do. We choose to do it. We don't have to do it. If we have to, if we didn't choose to, it can't be part of Torah, because Torah is about choices we make, right? Not about default. And the Alter Rebbe explained how the Beinoni, we identified the different classes or categories of what people could achieve. The tzaddik, who was able to achieve inner mastery, who unleashes heretofore unseen potential, incredible ability, a superhuman who can transcend human limitations and frailties. And then there's the Rasha, who we didn't talk so much about. And then there's the Beinoni. So we said to talk about the Tzaddik, described the contours and parameters of the Tzaddik. We described the same of the Rasha. And then we went on to talk about the Beinoni. And we said that the Beinoni is a person who is able to do all the right things without affecting interchange. That the Beinoni ever struggles. That the Beinoni is ever wrestling with his Yetzirah, with his inner arrogance, with his inner slothfulness, with his inner inability to rise above the fray. And the Yetzirah just keeps morphing. Every time he gets a little smarter, the Yetzirah gets smarter. And this is like a, you know, like these cyber battles between the terrorists and between law enforcement agencies, and everybody keeps getting smarter and keeps going to the next level. It's just an endless battle. It doesn't stop.
But if the Beinoni is in the tshuva, isn't there some interchange that had taken place?
Let me repeat your question and see if I understand it. If the Beinoni is a Baal Tshuva, was what you asked. Who says the Beinoni is a Baal Tshuva?
I'm saying.
What does it have to do with Tshuva? A Baal Tshuva could become a Tzaddik.
I'm a Baal Tshuva and I strive to be a Beinoni.
People sometimes ask me if I'm a Baal Tshuva. I ask why they ask that. So because you know so much about worldly matters. I don't know, but that's just the question I get sometimes from people. The truth is, I don't know so much. I bluff my way through a lot of things.
Do a good job.
I try to know Torah, but out of popular culture and philosophy, whatever. I know enough to sometimes sound a little intelligent. But my answer always is, I hope to someday be a Baal Tshuva. You said you're a Baal Tshuva. Yes, colloquially speaking, you're a Baal Tshuva. You were a person who was not observant before, and now you became a from Yidden.
Isn't that a transformation?
Wonderful. Is that a transformation? Are you really a different person? Are you a different person, or are you a person who does different things?
I think I'm a different person. I see everything differently. There's a transformation.
In other words, like this. There's certain things about you, about anybody. Some people have a certain nature. One person has a nature that they're very excitable. Another person has a nature that they're very morose. Other people have, they're very serious. Other people can't be bothered with too much pressure. Some people thrive under pressure. This is like part of the human condition. So my question for you is, in those areas, are you a different person? I don't think so. You decided to live a different kind of lifestyle. So you became a person that has emunah, has faith in Hashem now, and a person who's living with mitzvahs and so on and so forth. But it's the same person who was doing one thing is now doing something else.
My whole concepts of what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, you bought into Torah mitzvahs. No question. Yeah. No question. Nobody's arguing that. The question is there a bilvavcha change?
In my heart?
Yeah.
100%. 100%. You know, I see on Facebook a relative of mine celebrating Halloween and parties. And in my other life, I would have been rah-rah right there with them. And now I cringe.
I know. I'm with you now.
It's like a stab in the heart. It's like...
I know, all those Halloween posts are driving me crazy.
I'm saying, so that there's definitely some transformation. I mean, it's, I don't know.
All right. You make an interesting
point. In some
ways,
I am the same person. You make an interesting point.
When we talk about emotions, we also often refer to, let's say, something called the things we love in life, the things we can't stand in life. Some people like law and order. They like everything to be square. Some people like chaos. They love when things are off the walls and unpredictable. Does that really change? The same kind of either predictable loving or unpredictable loving person you were before when you weren't observant is the same way you are now when you're observant, probably.
Can't you say the same for the tzaddik? A lot of ways he's the same person.
No, the tzaddik actually is, if for all practical purposes, he's left the atmosphere. He's no longer part of the gravitational pull. He's not human anymore. He's just a weird creature. For us, he's a Martian. He's from outer space. He doesn't react to the things that we react to. He doesn't understand us, actually. A person will say, you did an Aveda. I understand people doing Avedas. Of course I understand. I do Avedas also. I'm not proud of it, but that's the way it is. So you have one taiva, I have a different taiva. Like, I'm finding all the Halloween stuff abhorrent, right? But I could do my own issue. I'm looking at this stupid election coverage instead of learning Tanya last night. Like, what am I doing? Like, how stupid is that? Wasting an hour of my time. Who got any wiser from it? nobody. So I'm not really any better or different. I'm just doing something. So I don't put on a costume, make myself silly on Halloween, fine. I'm making myself silly in front of the Eibishter by ignoring things which are valuable. Can you understand? Of course I understand it. Don't be self-contained. Don't be self-obsessed. And look, and you understand it. But the tzaddik really doesn't understand it. The tzaddik is hearing about something which maybe he once knew, but tzaddik doesn't, because he doesn't have those any of those issues.
But if he once knew, then can't he still relate?
I don't know. You know, memory is a funny thing. The bad memories get pushed into a deep recess. I don't know. Anyway, this is not. I'm not asking a question with force. It's not a. I'm just trying to open the issue. This is how we open up the idea of the 17th chapter of Tanya, which starts off Ubezayuvan. With this, we'll understand Mashakosov, what's written, Kikarev Elecha Adavim Ma'id, that this thing is exceedingly close to you. Beficha Ubevavcha Lasayse. It's the foundation of the whole Tanya, and the real emphasis on Perek Yud Zayin is not to explain the beficha, meaning your powers of articulation. It's not to explain lasayse, the powers of doing. It's to explain bilvavcha. It's that middle word, the bilvavcha word. That's the issue here, and we want to understand it. And the Alter Rebbe does himself ask this question: Dilecha'eda, ostensibly, who bilvavcha neged hachushalanu? You say bilvavcha. The Torah says it's in your heart, but that goes against our nature. It goes against our nature. She'ein karev hadavar. Let me respond to your question differently, Tom. You say you did it. Maybe you did. But it's not karev, it's not easy. You're a rarity. Not an everyday occurrence. So maybe some people could. Is karev? It's another part of this equation. Another part of the equation is close. Close means within reach. It's close. So it's far away. It's not within reach. Well, no, it's very close. So you could do that. So here we're saying it's karev. And karev means that it's very easy. And the problem is that even if the people that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to were in an elevated state of consciousness, and for them it was karev, it actually was easy. Maybe it was. I don't know. It's a long time ago. But even if for them it was, HaTorah hi nitzchis, the Torah is eternal. The Torah is not stuck in a particular frame of time, chas v'shalom, as people who don't understand what Torah and mitzvahs are think. Oh, the Torah is like talking about some ancient time, ancient reality. It also has some application to us today. It can also be understood in some way for us today as well. Chas v'shalom, that's heretical. The Torah doesn't also speak to us. The Torah speaks to us today with the same clarity that it spoke to people 3,300 years ago. Maybe not as easy, maybe not on the surface, doesn't speak as easily, so maybe we have to investigate more, maybe we have to look more, but hey, we have 3,300 years of Torah exposition to base our investigation on. Think about, they didn't have all that background, they didn't have all the svarim, we have all these svarim, all these incredible developments in Torah. So we have to believe that the Torah is eternal, and therefore, if the Torah was relevant for any people at any time, it has to be relevant for us in our time too. Torah can't be relevant once upon a time. Once upon a time is anathema to a Torah Jew from a Torah perspective. And in our world, where we are today, Moshe Rabbeinu is not talking to us, but we are today, Ein Karev Ma'oid Hadavar. It's not exceedingly close. It's not easy to change one's desires and interests from this world to love Hashem in truth. To love Hashem in truth means that one is as excited at the prospect of performing a mitzvah as the prospect of winning a $100,000 lottery. You know anybody like that? You know anybody who gets excited because I can soon do a mitzvah and they're actually like on over the moon and like, what are you so excited about? What are you talking about? It's Hanukkah tonight. I'm lighting the menorah for the first time. I'm making a shavionim. Really? That lights your candle? This is what you're talking about. It fills my life with light. I'm so excited about it. Okay, so we have like stories of the Bardichever, you know, that he's looking at this little Vanessa all night and he forgets to open the glass door in the morning and his hands go crashing through, right? Or stories of a tzaddik who lost the opportunity for a mitzvah and they began to weep uncontrollably and they, what do you mean? I'm not going to do a mitzvah. I'm not going to do a mitzvah. okay, whatever, fine. God forbid the person finds out that he lost his life savings. His $5 million that he put away went up in smoke. All of a sudden, he can't talk to the guy. He's sitting shiva for 3 months. So this is not a... It's easy to talk about this. But when you put it into real terminology, that you have to change your heart from taivas elamaza, things we're drawn after in the material world, that the spiritual world should be the way we used to be excited about the material reality, that's what we should be excited about the spiritual reality. That's not simple. It's not simple. Okay, so it's not going to work to say this worked maybe for Moshe Rabbeinu's generation. And it's not going to say I changed. We all changed to some degree. You get older, you change. But did we really change? When we were little children in nursery school, we were fighting who could get the fire truck. Now we're fighting who gets the new iPhone. Do we really change? It's different toys. It's not a real change. Now the Gemara itself, besides the fact that Bilvavcha is neged hachushulanu, it's against our nature. It's against what we know of ourselves. So there's another issue over here. The Torah itself acknowledges that the words of Moshe Rabbeinu seem incongruous and incompatible with real life. K'mesha amru b'gemara, like the Gemara says, and this is found in Masechet Brachos on page 33, that this is here the Gemara discussing another emotional reality, not Ahava, but what's the sister of Ahava?
Yira.
Reverence, awe. And real reverence, real awe, real fear means that I'm as afraid of chametz, like I'm as afraid of cyanide. You know, anybody like that? I'm afraid of hurting somebody's feelings, like I'm afraid of driving off the highway. There's fears and fears. You find out there's a chas v'shalom, a lion running loose in the neighborhood, you're really scared. You're really nervous. You find out somebody might do an aveda, okay. And the Gemara asks, Moshe Rabbeinu said that Yira, Ma Hashem Alekecha, Shel Miyamach, says Moshe, what does God ask of you? He says, Kivli Yira, just revere him, respect him a little. What's a little respect? Respect, what's the problem? Well, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Atu Yira Milsa Zutra Sahi? You're telling me that Yira is a little thing? Yira is a big thing. It's a big thing to be a Yira Shemayim. Now, there's a famous anecdote where Chassid was not so young anymore. And his friend suggested that maybe he get his affairs in order. I don't know whether he was 85 or 90, whatever it was. Maybe 80 is the new 70. Whatever he was at the time, it was like he was getting on in his years. So he said, nah, that's not going to be an issue for quite a while yet. So they said, how could you be so sure? He said, the Rebbe gave me a bracha, I should be a Yira Shemayim. And according to my estimation, it could take me at least another 2 decades to get there. So Yira is a big deal. That's not a small thing. And the Alter Rebbe says, V'kol shekein ahava. To be afraid of something is much easier or more intuitive or natural than to love something, to get excited about something. It's just human nature. It's easier to make people afraid. It's easier. It's very easy to make people afraid. So fear-mongering works very quickly. Mm-hmm. People are afraid. Nobody wants to lose what they have. Nobody wants to be... It's just the way we work.
That's what preachers in the old days did, right?
Did preachers in the old days use fear-mongering?
Fire and brimstone.
Some did. Mm-hmm. You know the famous story of the guy who was using fear-mongering and threatening his whole congregation with the fires of hell and the horrors of the... of God's punishment. You know the story? Mm-hmm. He began the sermon, members of the congregation, and he kept insisting, members of the congregation, and everybody was crying, so one guy in the back was laughing. And he went over to him after the sermon. He said, there's something wrong with you? Are you dimwitted? Are you thick? Do you not understand what I said? He said, I'm not a member of your congregation. So Yira is easy, or relatively easy. Makoshkin Hava, if Yira was a question. How do we do that? That was for sure a question. The Alter Rebbe adds, besides the fact, number one, just observation of human nature says otherwise. Number one. Number two, the Gemara itself asked this question, not about Ava, but about Yira, but that question would apply to Ava, maybe even on steroids. And number three, the Gemara, not the Gemara, but the Bereishis Rabba, our rabbis in the Medrash say, the tzaddikim dafka liba mirashusam. You want to know who controls their emotions fully? That they re-engineer their emotion? The tzaddik. That's actually a description of the tzaddik. Especially as we explain what the tzaddik is. Now everybody knows that a tzaddik is not karev moed. It's not exceedingly close. It's rochek moed, exceedingly far. And in fact, mission impossible for the vast majority. Vast overwhelming majority. For 99.9.9.9% of the population, it's not even realistic to have such anticipation or expectation. And that's a problem. Because here it says Karev Maid. And the Alter Rebbe based his book, which is Sefer Shobeninim, the book of the average person, on this pasuk that says Karev Maid. And in fact, the Bereishis Rabba tells us that this is the definition of a tzaddik. So, the definition of a tzaddik, and A, is not Karev Maid, and B, how can it be the foundation of a book called Book of Beninim?
So I'd explain the reaction of the crowd yesterday in the Torah was. There's some element to
somebody,
it. Everybody,
yeah. Somebody from Israel asked me that when people ask a question, that I should repeat the question. Hereafter, repeat the story. Well, it's a little bit uncomfortable to repeat the story, but yesterday somebody who did Hagbah is probably the wrong guy who should have been doing Hagbah. And the Sefer Torah in Mamashama was very scary. And Mark Kovan pointed out very wisely, he said, all these people who say that they're not religious, they went meshuga. When that Torah was teetering, everybody started screaming. Everybody's heart stopped. They said, for a lot of people who are not religious, they got very religious very quickly. Okay, but this is circumstantial.
It's a pintel yid.
It's a pintel yid. And like you said, the Holocaust can turn the optimist into a pessimist. Okay, of course circumstances could change us. Of course, when people saw the Twin Towers coming down, they became a sugar. They you know, you could have sold them anything then. But the problem is, a month later, 2 months later.
A minute later,
the aftershocks. I wrote an article at that time called George Bush and the Polar Bears. And the gist of my article was that at the time, the Bush administration was proposing drilling in Alaska. And the environmental groups were opposing them because they can ruin the habitat of the polar bears. I'm not weighing in on the environmental debate, and I'm not saying if I'm for the polar bears or not for the polar bears and for the drilling or not. But when he talked about it the day after those Twin Towers came down, which was clearly from Arab-funded terrorists from the countries that produce all the oil, everybody said drill. Mm. 2 months later, nobody wanted to drill. It was a whole discussion, right? What happened? Nothing happened. Time passed. That's what happened. That's human nature. In the heat of the moment, anything could happen. The Book of Tanya is not a heat-of-the-moment book. It's an everyday book. It's not mundane. It's very holy. But it's for everyday life. So the Alter Rebbe has to explain this idea. He has put himself in the corner here. He must explain this. What did he mean when he said, I based the whole book on this? Says the Alter Rebbe, Ella, obviously, we cannot be speaking about the transformation of emotion in the way we do at tzaddik. That can't be the case. La Seisei, when it talks about La Seisei, finishes off Beficha, Ubilvavcha, and then La Seisei. You talk the talk, and before we go to walking the walk, we talk about the heart re-engineering, or heart remix. So he says that Tzeni Leimar, what the Pasuk means to say, is that it's Ahava Hameviya Lidei Asiyas HaMitzvos Bavad. You're right. That kind of emotional transformation is actually not possible. Or not probable. It's not for most of us, can't get there. Where could we get? We could get to the point that our emotions should be re-engineered in a manner that they affect our actions. Mm-hmm. That's the emphasis here. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's written, Beficha, which seems out of order. Bilvavcha, and then Lasoise. It should have said, thought, speech, deed. And that's how we speak usually, because first comes thought, then comes speech, then comes deed. Sometimes people do things, and then they talk about it, and eventually it leads them to start thinking differently. That's the opposite approach. That's the deed, speech, and thought. That's called conditioning. Both, there's pros and cons to each, but there's an order in which they go. First I'm doing, then finally I can communicate about this, I can speak about it, and finally I start to think differently, or the other way around. But here, the order is jumbled. It's Beficha, because speech. Bilvavcha, so heart, consciousness, thought, but emotional quotient thought. And then we go to Lasaisa. The Alter Rebbe says, that's the point. The intention of the Pasuk when it says Bilvavcha, when we say Bilvavcha, we say in the heart, there's two things that could be meant. We could mean the emotions, independently speaking, emotions alone, transformation of emotions. Or we could talk about changing my emotions insofar as my action is concerned. That's very, very different than changing the emotions. Changing the emotions means it's a new person. Emotions are not like changing somebody's mind. Changing a mind is intellectual. Intellectual is objective. Emotions are subjective. It's how I feel about it. You want me to feel differently? Really feel. Not just say I feel. You want me to react differently? That's very difficult. Very difficult. So when we talk about emotions, if you talk about changing emotions, the Alter Rebbe says, of course, that's like mission impossible. Very few of us will ever get there, and that's certainly not karev. But there's when we talk about the word bilvavcha, we're not talking about what we say in Hebrew, regesh halev, the feeling of the heart, the emotion in its purest sense, but rather we're talking about the emotion in an action-oriented manner. And that, he says, is something that each and every one of us can do. The bilvavcha can be changed in the manner of action. So this will be talking about, for example, motivation. I can be motivated to do something. I can motivate others to do something. I can decide I'm doing this. I can come to this emotional decision that this is the wrong way and then do what's right. A person can do that. And he can invest himself in it. Obviously, he didn't change himself. The optimist didn't become a pessimist, etc. Which means, Shehi Ru'usa Deliba Shebetalu My Slave. Now the Alter Rebbe adds a very, very important detail. And this is one of the key components of Tanya. The Alter Rebbe emphasizes that when we talk about the concepts of Tanya, that they're emet and true because there is a latent subconsciousness that we're tapping into. And that's the subconsciousness of the Neshama. And that's what you saw yesterday when the Torah was about to fall. That's what you saw. That there is a latent part of us that actually is in love with God. Mm-hmm. The problem is it's latent. It's almost always in a potential state. Very rarely does it reveal itself. But when it does reveal itself, it's not something superficial. It's real. It's real. It may have taken circumstances to bring it out, but it's the emet. It's the truth. Here's a lame example. So when I was in Israel a few years ago during the war, so we were in one shiva house in Tiberia, a family named Cohen, a young soldier, 19-year-old boy, Nebuchadnezzar, who was murdered by the terrorists. And the mother kept wailing again and again, I can't believe it, you came from Toronto, I'll never forget that whole surreal. So at some point in the conversation, I said, it's remarkable how everybody's together. It's one family. So she says to me, yeah, during a war. During a war, it's one family. When the war is over, it's not one family. We fight with each other, and there's so much politics and so much acrimony. So I said to her, that's true. But if we weren't really one, we wouldn't become one during a war either. In other words, really we are one family. Families fight. But when there's extenuating circumstances, family comes together. Why? Because they really are family. Unfortunately, I'm not saying that's how it should be. We should be working on being family all the time. Unfortunately, sometimes family is not family, except when there's a funeral. All of a sudden, family is a family. But it's not a show. They really are a family. It's the real deal. So the Alter Rebbe talks about this Ru'usa Deliba. He talks about this inner rhythm, this hidden latent emotion. It's very real. It's just not being his galus liba. It doesn't openly and overtly express itself. So, that's because it's not expressed regularly. It doesn't mean it's not there. It is there. It's like this unemotional person who under extraordinary circumstances gets emotional. So where did he download that from? He put some software in his head, he got emotional suddenly? No, he really is emotional. Every person is emotional. So what's the problem? The problem is he doesn't know how to reveal his emotions. He's a person who's very, like, everything's locked up inside. He's not open. He doesn't open himself. For some people, they're like open book with a heart in the sleeve. Their emotions are always, they're not afraid to share their emotions. It's different temperament. But both people have emotions. It's not like, for example, an animal suddenly starts quoting poetry. It's not something foreign. It's not a circus act. It's the real deal. It's It's just oftentimes doesn't come out. Now, this means that when it's behizgalos libo, when it is revealed, that there is a hargosha, there is a feeling of a yearning and even a desire, powerful desire, like a fiery desire, right? It's in there. So we have to then try to somehow harness that. And harnessing it doesn't mean that we're actually going to experience that full-blown emotional range, that that's going to happen only in extraordinary moments. But what it does mean is that it's not foreign to us. Since it's not foreign to us, it's possible for us to develop that emotion on an everyday basis in an action-oriented dimension. V'davar zeh, this thing, karev ma'oid, this is very close. This is nakel, easy l'chal adam, asher yesh le'me'ah b'kad k'day. If you only have a brain in your skull, you can do this. So, is this change we can believe in? The answer is yes, you can do this. Yes, you can. You can. Everybody can. Why? Because what you choose to ruminate, contemplate, and think about is your choice. You choose. That's where's your head? You choose to put your head where it is. And you could therefore contemplate. You can learn as much Chassidus as you want. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody stops you from contemplating that. Nobody stops you thinking about Achdus Hashem, the oneness of God. Nobody stops you from thinking about those things. So think about that. And the Alter Rebbe says, and this is another cornerstone of Chabad Chassidus, that it's all about Chachma, Bina Das, thinking, harnessing and utilizing the powers of human intellect. When you'll be mizbeinin, when you'll deeply contemplate, I dare use the word meditate, but not sitting cross-legged with a turban necessary. That's not meditate. Let me think it over. Let me sleep on it. What are you going to think when you sleep? Yeah, kind of. That's the element of. So when you do that, then we'll be born in his mind at least, Akapana. Maybe not in your heart in the full-blown sense, but at least in your mind, this is what we call emotional quotience. We call this emotional intelligence. At least we have the Avala Hashem. At least that the Avala, but you don't have the Avala Hashem in the Ava way. It's not like a revealed Ava. No, it's true, not in the revealed Ava state. But it will be in a way of kiyum mitzvesav v'teirase. It will be in the manner that impels and engages you to fulfill the mitzvahs and to study the Torah. And guess what? V'zeh kol ha'adam. That's what life's all about. Somebody wants to know what life's all about? The answer is to engage your natural abilities to the point that you are going to live the kind of life that Hashem wants you to live. That's what it's all about. Like it says in the Pasuk in Kehelas that we say before benching, Zekal Adam, save Dover, Akal Nishma, it's Mesa Shemarik, Zekal Adam, that's it. This is what it is. Bottom line. When it all boiled down to one essence, what's it all about in the end? That you live the kind of life that the Eibishter wants you to live. That's where he put you. And the proof of this is, Ki Hayoim La Soysim Ksiv. It says, Hayoim La Soysim. What is today? What is the here and now all about? Here and now is not about spiritual experiences. The here and now is not about inspiration. The here and now is about doing. La soisim. Doing. Do something about it. So you have these, these UJA events. What's the point? I asked the guy. What's it? To create Jewish consciousness. To create Jewish pride. To create Jewish feeling. I said, then what happens? Then we create more Jewish feeling. Then what happens? Then we can make another event, more Jewish feeling. I said, whatever happens from it though. Well, maybe they'll support the UJS. It's very nice. And what else? What about mitzvahs? We're trying to get everybody to put on tefillin, trying to get everybody to light Shabbos candles. Well, we leave that to you. That's not what we're really about. So what are you about? By creating Jewish feelings. More Jewish feelings and more Jewish feelings. What is it? What Jewish feelings? Then we didn't come here to have Jewish feelings. We had more Jewish feelings in heaven.
I don't even know what Jewish feelings are.
I don't know what that is either. Sometimes either. But the point is, this cardiac Judaism is baloney. Why? Because it's not about your feeling, your heart. The neshama has a bigger feeling. The neshama has more higher and loftier grasp of things. What's unique about this world? What can we do here that can't be done elsewhere? Mitzvahs. We can do mitzvahs here. We can do mitzvahs elsewhere. There's more pride in Gan Eden. You can be more proud of your Jewishness. You didn't need to come to this world. As it says, Lamacha, the Gemara Nedev, and says, tomorrow, Lekabel Scharim, then you get your reward. And that's really how it is. And that's really how it is. And the truth is that every one of us can do this. We just have to make that decision. We want to do it. It's up to you. You make the decision. You decide to do it. And the main thing is, La Seisan. It's So the Alter Rebbe says, I'm not evading the issue and say, oh, well, it says La'al Bilvavcha, but you, Alter Rebbe, are evading the issue. You re-engineered it now. You said the Bilvavcha is not a Regesh, the Bilvavcha is not a Regesh. I'm not evading the issue. That is what the issue is. That really what this is all about. The question is, are we ready to get to the issue of Bilvavcha? What kind of Bilvavcha? La'asaisai. Because Bilvavcha in and of itself is not what we came to this world for. Came to this world, Bilvavcha, to get to La'asaisai. That's what it's all about.
It's a means to an end.
We'll continue that in the next class. We'll pick off of that. So I'll finish off with a beautiful teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, which I briefly mentioned yesterday, which is basically this idea. The Baal Shem Tov says that the words, v'chol eitz hagon, he said the word eitz, the tree, meaning the forbidden fruit tree, the eitz could be read as, in the idiom of the concept of eitzah. Eitzah means advice. He says, any eitz of the gun, what's the gun, what's the garden? This 53 parshas in Torah, Gan said this at Torah. So the 53 parshas, any eitz of the gun, he says, so if it's, what's the Lashon HaKasov? If it's, kol ha-shateichol mimenu, whatever you want to eat, if you could eat from it, the Baal Shem Tov translates practical. You could make it into something practical. You could do something about it. Ochol teichol mimenu. Great. Eat it. Take it. But if it's eis hadas, if it's just academic, it's just an idea, a Torah idea. What does it have to do with practical? Nothing. It's a theory. It's an abstract. It doesn't affect the practical life. Or you could maybe understand the Baal Shem Tov's words. Somebody learns Torah in a way of das. It's fascinating, beautiful ideas. Just change your life. Why would it change my life? You do anything? Why do anything about it? I like cerebral academic Judaism. That's loy seichel. Loy seichel mimenu. That's not how to eat from. Don't ingest that. That's poison. That's toxic. So in other words, all of our Torah mitzvahs, all of our Torah has to be directed to mitzvahs. As the Gemara says, you have to be a loymed almanas lasis. You're learning Torah, not academically, which means you learn the idea and then don't follow through, but that everything you learn has to then be translated into practice, into action. And that's what it's all about. That's the point of the Alter Rebbe. The whole Bilvavcha is to bring you la'asaisai. And that is a natural rather than unnatural. But next week we'll talk about how that's actually natural. And then we'll find out for whom it might be unnatural.
Thank you.